Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. This message is for the week of April 28th, 2024. It's entitled, The Promise of New Life, Part 2. The call to worship is taken from Psalm 18, verses 1, 2, and 30 from the New Living Translation. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield to all who look to Him for protection. Amen. Previously, in looking at the question, what makes someone a Christian? We saw that becoming a Christian isn't about our efforts to be good enough to please God's standards, for that is impossible for us to do. Rather, a Christian receives new life through what Jesus Christ has done for us by our responding to God's invitation and His work within us. This is promised in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. And Ezekiel was writing during the exile from Babylon, reflecting on what got them there. And he gives them God's promise. He says, God says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Lord God here is acknowledging we can't change ourselves, but He can do it. Now, my response to God's invitation through Christ is, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, ABC. Acknowledge my need for God's forgiveness, A. B, believe in Jesus Christ and that by accepting His death and resurrection on my behalf, I am made acceptable in God's sight. And C, confess my sins. Humble myself before God, admit my sin and my desire to live according to His word, the Bible. Receiving new life in Christ is a work of God, a gift for which we cannot boast, but we are eternally grateful for. God chose us in fulfillment of promises that He had made. Let's think first God's purposes for us as Christians. God's purposes for us as Christians. We've received this new life. First of all, becoming like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, God planned that those He had chosen would become like His Son. In that way, Christ will be the first and most honored among many brothers. God's purpose for us is to become like Jesus in our character, starting with humility, the humility Jesus demonstrated in coming not to be served, but to serve to the glory of God. Another purpose for us as Christians is declaring God's praises. Declaring God's praises in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. From the Message translation, it says, But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do His work and speak out for Him, to tell others of the night and day difference He made for you. Declaring God's praises, the dramatic difference He's made in you and giving you a new heart, taking away that heart of stone, the stubbornness. And thirdly, God's purpose for us as Christians is bearing fruit and doing good works. John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, You did not choose me, I chose you, and sent you out to produce fruit, the kind of fruit that will last. then my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we're reminded, God planned for us to do good things and to live as he always wanted us to live. That's why he sent Christ to make us what we are. Becoming like Jesus, declaring God's praises, bearing fruit, and doing good works. As we respond to God's invitation to his work of new life within us, we become favored with blessing after blessing. And these are fulfillment of God's promises to us. So let's remind ourselves of some of God's promises to those with new life in Christ as we've accepted Jesus. First of all, God promises, the Lord is always with me. The Lord is always with me. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is within us. The Lord's always with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. Thirdly, our sins are completely forgiven. Completely forgiven. Not partially, completely. Fourthly, we are put right with God. Our relationship with God has been made right. Fifthly, we are made friends with God. We are made friends with God. Number six, we have the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We have access, number seven, we have access into the presence of God. He promises this. It's incredible. We have access into the presence of God. Number eight, we are now in Christ. We are now in Christ. Number nine, we are no longer under the dominating control of sin. Thank you, Lord. We are no longer under the dominating control of sin. And number 10, we are secure forever. We are secure forever. These are promises that God has made to those who come to him through Christ, promises to those with new life in Christ. Why is it important to review God's promises to us? God's promises are not to be taken lightly, nor should they be treated lightly. Remember, when God says something, he means it. He means it. Let's take a little more closely at the first two promises in this list to remind ourselves why they are so important for us to remember. The rest of the list is for you to reflect on and maybe look up some of the other passages of Scripture. Number one was, the Lord is always with us. And the verse I had with this is Matthew 28, verse 20, the second half of verse 20. It's a familiar verse. Jesus says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples after his resurrection, just before he ascended into heaven before their eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm familiar with this promise, and maybe so much so to the point of not appreciating what, as a Christian, I'm being promised. What does Jesus' presence with us always give us? As I reflected on this question, I thought of how I'd applied this verse to myself over the years. I thought of companionship. He goes with me through my day. Also, comfort, the comfort of his presence in difficult times, when I'm alone. He's with me. Yet as I looked at the cross-reference verses that you find in Matthew 28:20 and the setting of Matthew 28:20, I saw how much of Jesus' promise I was missing if you don't look at it in the full context of who's making the promise. For example, look at Deuteronomy 31:1-8. Here, Moses relays a message to the descendants of Israel from God, much like Jesus gave to his followers. You know, remember, I'll be with you. However, hearing this message, you know, I'll be with you, in its context, makes it clear that this promise is given for a reason, to elicit a response. Listen to the passage, Deuteronomy 31, 1 to 8. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Ammonites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I've commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Deuteronomy 31, 1 to 8. This promise was given for the people to respond to trust and act on. How? How? By obeying Joshua, by crossing the Jordan River, trusting God would go with them, helping them to do what he promised them and their ancestors that he would do. Now let's read Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, but beginning with verse 18. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is the resurrected Jesus talking. So this is taking place after Jesus rose from the grave and before his ascension. Verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Jesus is not simply promising to keep us company, is he? He has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is sending us out in his name and authority, meaning we can be strong and courageous in him as we go and make disciples of all nations, because Jesus promises to be with us always. Understanding this promise should inflame our desire to go in his name and empower our actions. You may say, I'm not sure what I'll say, but Jesus is with me, he promised. Or, I've never done this before, but Jesus is prompting me, and he is with me. He promised. When you are afraid or feel your faith wavering, remind yourself of Jesus' promise. He is always with you. So be courageous, for he is Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. The promises to those of us with new life in Christ. The second one in our list was the Holy Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. What does the promise of the Holy Spirit within us mean to us as Christians? You know, when we read the Old Testament for references to the Spirit of God, you will notice that the presence of the Holy Spirit upon people always has an impact. prophets of the Lord were those God spoke through by his Spirit. As Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30 says, in your love you were patient with them for many years. You sent your Spirit who warned them through the prophets. Now, the mention of someone being a God-directed leader in the Old Testament is often prefaced with the words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him or upon her. For example, Judges chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Then the Israelites cried to the Lord, and he sent a man who freed them. This was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's leader. Othniel went to war, and the Lord gave him victory over the king of Mesopotamia. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus is comforting his disciples after telling them one of them will betray him, and also that he's leaving them, but will prepare a place for them to join him. Then in verses 16 and 17, Jesus assures them they will not be left alone, and he gives them an amazing promise. John 14, 16 and 17, Jesus says, then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. The Spirit will show you what is true. The people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or know him. But you know the Spirit who is with you and will keep on living in you. Jesus promised all his disciples the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, not just for a specific task, but to always be with us. In the New Testament, as you move from the gospel accounts to the Acts of the Apostles, you see the difference the empowering of the Holy Spirit made to the apostles. If you have responded to Jesus' invitation to acknowledge, believe, and confess, that same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. As you reflectively read the Bible and hide it in your heart, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through it and remind you of it, helping you to become more like Jesus, new life in Christ. How are we to respond to the amazing promises of new life in Christ? Well, let me suggest you look to Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. Acts chapter 2, 37 to 47, because the apostles were asked the same question. After the ABCs of conversion, the next step of your new life in Christ should include being baptized in Jesus' name, joining a church, participating in church fellowship and ministry, and growing in the reality of God's presence. To help you do that, reflect on God's promises to you that the Lord is always with us, the Holy Spirit is within us, our sins are completely forgiven, we are put right with God, we are made friends with God, we have the gift of eternal life. We have access into the presence of God. We are now in Christ. We are no longer under the dominating control of sin, and we are secure forever. These are promises God has made to those of us who have received new life in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Let me close with a benediction from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. The God of peace brought the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus, back to life through the blood of an eternal promise. May this God of peace prepare you to do everything good he wants. May he work in us through Jesus Christ to do what is pleasing to him. Glory belongs to Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. The Lord bless you. Walk in his strength and claim his promises. Amen.